verses 57 through 68. Allow me to read the word of God. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you?" Japan's renowned author Endo Shusaku wrote the novel Silence, which is about a missionary suffering under Japan's oppression of Christians, after coming across a picture of a sacred subject found in Nagasaki. The picture he saw had footsteps on it because followers of Christ had trampled on the picture to pledge their apostasy. The novel Silence is set in the 1630s in Japan. At the time, Japan opened its doors to the West and accepted Western culture. This is when Christianity entered Japan, and it appeared that followers grew without trouble. But as time passed and Catholic and Christian states with relations with Japan began competing with each other, and this led to a difficult situation for Japanese politicians. Japanese politicians decided not to accept Christianity in Japan, whether it be Catholicism or Protestantism. After determining that they could trade with the West's powerful nations without having to worry about religious matters, Japan began oppressing Christianity, which had taken root in the country for 50 years. Japan began refusing missionaries that came to the country and ordered those already in Japan to leave. Those that did not leave, or people who accepted the faith, were forced to declare apostasy or were killed. Missionaries and believers that were uncovered were forced to renounce their faith. And those who trampled on a picture of Jesus would be provided wisdom, but those who refused became subject to torture that led to death. In such circumstances, the mission camp heard about the apostasy of Portuguese Jesuit missionary Ferreira, who had assumed an important position and carried out mission work for 33 years in Japan. Ferreira taught students at a theological seminary before he was dispatched as a missionary. Not only was he a remarkable theologian, but he was also a person of good character, so his apostasy came as a shock to those who knew him. When rumors grew about missionary Ferreira, three of his students decided to go to Japan to find out the truth. The three missionaries arrived in Macau after several months. But one developed an endemic disease and had to give up his journey to Japan. So only the missionaries Rodriguez and Garpe headed to Japan. At Macau, they met a Japanese man named Kichijiro. They found Kichijiro to be a servile person, but they had no choice but to head to Japan under his guidance. They traveled on a wooden vessel and arrived at an island village where all people were Christians. They had little time to be joyful, however, because shortly after, Japanese officials arrived at the village and began taking away the Christians living there. The missionaries found it strange that the Japanese officials suddenly came to the village when only three people, the two missionaries and Kichijiro, knew that they came to the island. They found out that Kichijiro informed the Japanese authorities about them. Kichijiro, who was also a Christian, declared apostasy when the persecution began and he fled to Macau. He guided the two missionaries he met there, but also informed Japanese authorities about them. The two missionaries fortunately found out about this and split up and fled to different islands. While fleeing, missionary Rodriguez found that he had no choice but to be guided by Kichijiro that had betrayed them. Kichijiro confesses to Rodriguez that he informed Japanese authorities about the missionaries. But Rodriguez is again betrayed by the man and is finally caught. Japanese authorities began threatening Rodriguez. But something strange was that whenever Rodriguez underwent torture, the Japanese man Kichijiro was present. Every time Kichijiro met the missionary, he confessed his sin and asked for his forgiveness. It was difficult to understand the situation. Rodriguez became subject to Japan's appeasement, which was more tenacious than torture. And later, he met with Ferreira, who had rumored to have renounced his faith, and learns about why he made this choice. Ferreira gave up his faith because he was told that if he didn't do so, that the believers that followed him would be killed. Instead of becoming a heroic martyr, he thought of the lives of his followers, even if this meant that he would face judgment from the mission camp. And he accepted the anguish of being referred to as a clergyman that renounced his faith by those who faced martyrdom. Living as an apostate was a much heavier cross to bear than becoming a martyr for Ferreira. Finally, missionary Rodriguez was also placed in front of a picture of Jesus. Jesus in the picture was worn out because of the trampling, and it seemed like Jesus was looking at Rodriguez with sadness. Torn over the situation, he was hesitating when Jesus spoke to him. "You can step on me. I know the pain of your feet best. You can step on me. I was born in this world to be trampled on, and I took on the cross to share your pain." Rodriguez, after hearing God speak to him, accepted that only the Lord would truly judge him and not the church or people. And he repeated inside, "I have renounced my faith. But Lord, only you know that I have not actually done so." Time passed, and Kichijiro, who betrayed him, came to Rodriguez and asked for his forgiveness. He told him why he had no choice but to give up his faith. He said that he was weak in nature and therefore was unable to withstand the pressure for him to trample on the picture of Jesus. He also confessed that he betrayed Rodriguez. Hearing his confession, Rodriguez thought about what Jesus told him before he stepped on the picture. "You can step on me. Your feet will hurt now. You will hurt like the others who stepped on me, but that will be sufficient. I will share your pain and suffering. This is why I exist." Hearing this, Rodriguez said to Jesus, "Lord, I resented that you kept silent all this time." Jesus spoke again, "I was not silent. I was sharing your pain." Rodriguez, who heard Jesus tell him that he was sharing his pain, put his blood-stained feet on the picture, and he was able to forgive the Japanese man who betrayed him twice with the love of Jesus. Today's passage tells about our Lord who was arrested to save us, who are like apostates and betrayers like Kichijiro. The high priest, the teachers of the law, and elders questioned Jesus as soon as they brought him before the Sanhedrin and looked for evidence to prove Jesus' sin. The members of the Sanhedrin, which was headed by the high priest and comprised of priests, elders, and teachers of the law, wanted Jesus to be handed a death sentence. Verse 59 says the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But it was against the law at the time to convene a general meeting during the night. So in order to escape controversy over going against the law, they only convened a few key members and questioned Jesus and found false evidence to use against Jesus. Two witnesses appeared and brought forward Jesus' words that he could build the temple of God in 3 days. This is John chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Jesus said this after driving out the people at the temple who were selling cows, sheep, and doves and exchanging money. He was telling the Jews who had made the temple into a market, "Kill my body, which is the temple, then I will arise in 3 days." This was about his death and his resurrection. But the Jews only took him for a temple destroyer and also accused him of blasphemy. But Jesus could not be charged based on these testimonies. The two witnesses appeared to be people who the Sanhedrin paid to provide testimonies when the high priest failed to obtain evidence against Jesus. According to the law, for a man to be declared guilty, at least two people had to provide the same evidence. But Mark chapter 14, verse 59 says the two testimonies of these people differed. But Jesus did not respond to those who were looking for evidence to execute Jesus by calling false witnesses. And the high priest asked Jesus the following in verse 63. But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are Christ, the Son of God." The reason Jesus remained silent was because he had already accepted that it was God's work for him to be charged guilty and to be executed on the cross, and because there was no need for him to defend himself. He could not escape the cross because it was his mission which he had to bear. Missionary Rodriguez was branded an apostate and was as he trampled on the picture of Jesus. But he realized that all the time, where he thought Jesus had remained silent, he had been sharing the pain with those who had been suffering, the life as an apostate that Rodriguez chose was the cross he had to bear. Jesus was pressured to confess his sin, but he did not defend himself because he had to die to save humanity. But the high priest pressed Jesus to make an oath by the name of God. Let me read verse 63 again. But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are Christ, the Son of God." Making a false oath by the name of God was a sin for profaning the name of God. So the Jews did not dare make false oaths by the name of God. The high priest was pressing Jesus to make an oath to find grounds to punish Jesus. If Jesus acknowledged by the name of God that he was Christ, the Son of God, the high priest could charge him for blasphemy. And offenses subject to execution needed confession from the offender, so the high priest was strategically pressing Jesus to do this. Christ in Hebrew means the Messiah. The Messiah had several meanings. The Messiah, that meant one who is anointed, could also be interpreted as king. If Messiah were to be interpreted as a political Messiah, it would be a savior who frees the Jews from the Roman Empire and restores the former glory of the Jews. In this case, Jesus could be sued as a political offender resisting to Rome. If Jesus referred to himself as the Messiah, this would be blasphemy. So the high priest's question was very cunning. Jesus, who had remained silent, answered the high priest's question in verse 64. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Jesus stated he was Christ, the Son of the living God, by indirectly saying, "It is as you say," instead of making a direct statement. Jesus remained silent when the people slandered him, but clearly stated the truth that he is Christ, the Son of God. In the book of Mark, it says Jesus answered the high priest's question directly. When the witnesses failed to prove Jesus' charges, Caiaphas intended on accusing Jesus of blasphemy and finally heard the answer he wanted. Caiaphas would have shouted out of joy inside while sentencing Jesus to death. The high priest, who had achieved his goal, and those around him began spitting on Jesus' face, striking him with their fists and palms and ridiculing him. The book of Luke states they ridiculed Jesus after placing a blindfold on him. Jesus took on the ridiculing at the illegal site of trial without a counsel. C.S. Lewis, who is known as the most skilled dialectician of Christianity of our times, states the following in his book, God in the Dock. The ancient man approached God as the accused person approaches his judge. For the modern man, the roles are reversed. He is the judge, God is in the dock. He is quite a kindly judge if God should have a reasonable defense for being the God who permits a war, poverty, and disease. He's ready to listen to it. The trial may even end in God's acquittal. But the important thing is that man is on the bench and God is in the dock. C.S. Lewis's accusation that man is the judge and God is in the dock shows how Christians of today think of God. But this is also the case of today, the people in today's passage. The high priest Caiaphas in today's passage placed the Son of God in the dock and sat at the judge's seat. Caiaphas, who was a high priest for a short, limited time, sentenced the eternal high priest and judge of the last day to death. Jesus, who had remained silent, stated clearly he is Christ, the Son of God, and then continued using the conjunction but. Let me read verse 64 again. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on clouds of heaven." The word translated into but in the passage differs from a conjunction that is used to link two contrasting sentences. It means together with. Jesus said, not only is he Christ, the Son of God, he will also sit at the right hand of God and come again in glory. This is a message of hope to Christians. But Jesus' words that he is the Messiah and that he will return as the judge served as clear evidence for the high priest to execute Jesus. Caiaphas appeared to have won as he secured clear evidence for a death sentence, but it also shows the spiritual ignorance of man who was sentenced to death at the Garden of Eden, but sat on the judge's seat and sentenced Jesus to death. Jesus, who remained silent to false testimonies, stated promptly he is Christ. We are living as people of the Republic of Korea and at the same time as the people of the Kingdom of God who believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We are living in a much safer world than the missionaries Ferreira and Rodriguez, who had to live as apostates and compared to early Korean believers who risked their lives to keep their faith during Japan's colonial rule, and Christians who are persecuted around the world for being a believer. We are living in an excessively peaceful time where we do not have to risk our lives to live as the light and salt of the world. At the same time, there are more Christians who do not state they are Christians than those who live for the Kingdom of God without being recognized. Jesus currently sits at the right hand of God, and he will come once again on a cloud as he has promised. The Jews do not accept Jesus Christ of Nazareth of 2,000 years ago, but we are living today waiting for our Lord who will come again. We are living a time between the time Jesus came and will come. So we are thankful for this time. This is because we have been presented with numerous opportunities. Opportunities to change ourselves, to love, to forgive, to be restored, to prepare extra oil, to make the Lord happy, and to make ourselves better Christians. In Italy's museum in Turin is a stone fragment with a bizarre carving on it. The person has lots of hair in the front but is bald in the back and has wings and shoulders. On his shoulders and feet, this is Kairos, the god of opportunity in Greek mythology. There is an explanation for Kairos's bizarre appearance. The reason for my four locks is so that people cannot immediately recognize me, but when they do, for them to take hold of me. The reason the back of my head is bald is so that no one can take hold of me from behind once I have passed by. The reason I have wings on my shoulders and feet is that I can disappear as fast as possible. In Psalm 90, the poet says the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength and we fly away. I dwell on this verse as time goes by. We cannot stop the time that flies by or make it pass slowly. Therefore, this fall we should love and forgive, restore and give thanks, and labor and devote ourselves. Like missionary Rodriguez spoke with the Lord under severe persecution, we should seek to have deeper conversation with the Lord, the harsher our circumstances are. When fall comes, we begin calling on the Bible study leaders that will serve as guides for group members and others that will serve the church in other divisions. At the standing committee meeting held on October 7th, we reported on our church data for the third quarter. A total of 13,041 people have registered with our church as of September 30th. While we are unable to congregate at church, and many members are attending the service at their respective places, God has called many people to the 100th anniversary memorial church. At the Sunday school division, there are 1,596 children and teenagers. We are waiting for members who will volunteer as Sunday school teachers who will foster the next generation of believers who are able to confidently say, "I am a Christian." The church is also awaiting people who will serve in other teams that work for matters inside and outside of the church to establish our church as a healthy community. We ask those who have been thinking about volunteering to sign up. For those who find it difficult to serve within the church, we hope that you're able to offer your lives as worship in the spheres of your family, your workplace, and your local community. I hope that all members of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church are able to live awaiting the Lord who will come again and greet the Lord who comes on a cloud with joy and praise our Savior, Jesus Christ, with all our heart and soul. Let us pray. Father God, the high priest put Jesus in the dock in the nighttime and tried with all his might to find grounds to execute him. We confess that this was not only something that happened 2,000 years ago. We think about whether or not we have placed you in the dock and seated ourselves at the judge's seat and put you on trial. We think about whether we have not placed a truthful Christian in the dock and whether I'm sitting at the judge's seat. We think about whether or not we are like Kichijiro, sinning and repenting and repeating this process. We think about whether or not we have made all we do look good but pointed fingers at others, stating what they do is illegal. We repent at this moment. Forgive us who are weak. Like the poet's words, and the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength and we fly away, Let us remember that our days are limited and provide us the courage so that we do not miss the opportunity but devote ourselves to building the community of faith that you have allowed. Provide us the grace so that all members of the church pray for the mission of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church that you have established, which is to serve as a guide toward the next 200 years of the history of Christianity in Korea, and so that this mission may be served well. God, we thank you for still providing us abundant opportunities to love and devote ourselves, to forgive and restore, to establish with faith, to prepare extra oil for the groom who is to come. Let us keep awake so that we do not miss these opportunities and end up mourning. Let us wait for the Lord who will come yet again with patience, and help us to serve the mission of fostering the next generation of faith.